Good. So we're here in Parshas Yisrael. The first shtickle is a Sfarno. On Atu Yedatki Godla Hashem Mikol Hakim, Ki Badova Shezoda Aleihem. So the Sfarno says, Ki Badova Shezoda Aleihem, Ki Hitzeles Ha'om Ba'oise Dova Atzma Shezoda Mitzvim Aleihem Al Yisrael. Aleihem Shal Yisrael. He used the same Inyan that the Mitzvim tried to oppress Kaisal with. They used it against the Mitzvim. So the word zodu means to plot, to plan, and so on. So this farmer says over here in Inyan that is fundamental to the understanding of the difference between Avodah Zarah and Alikus. In other words, the difference between the way Umas HaOlam understand deities and us, it's not just a question of who is the right God, Hashem or Lahav the Baal. It's much deeper than that. They are typhus, the deities, as some sort of power that exists within the world that is superior to all other powers. So it's a koyach prati. Each god has its own metzias, with a lot of strength, and whatever his field is, this one can shoot thunderbolts, this one can uproot trees, this one can do this, the other one, but they all are certain koiches that are bigger, stronger, better than everybody else. Those type of inyanim are inyanim that are hefech of the way we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the sheirish of everything, meaning that all things and everything, and one of the things we say about Kadosh Baruch Hu is a koil yochol v'kololam yachad. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent, and he is, and everything comes together from him. The Avinezer says in a place that a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's happening in the Bria, not because he sort of peeks in and looks and sees and knows what everything is, but his lashon is the way in which the klal understands the prat. So does HaKadosh Baruch Hu understand any prat of the bria. Ein beprat al masha beklal. The prat cannot have things that are bigger than the klal. So our sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and their sense of their gods is two different senses of what a god is. Nafkimina will be, their gods have a certain strength. So if their god's strength is thunderbolts, so shooting thunderbolts at the Bria is what they can do best. So that's their weapon. It's not shaykh that they would still suit to any other particular type of mahalach, because they don't have it. They don't possess water. They don't possess ice. They don't possess that power. By us, anything that's in the Bria automatically is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can still suit to anyone or anything is our core definition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the Sheirish of Metzias. It's like Moshe Ma'adav Adoyma. Imagine you have a corporation. And in the corporation, you have different departments, divisions, and each one has relative strengths and so on. So, Lamarshal, I tell you that the person who does sales is really the most powerful person in the organization, because he brings an extraordinary amount in sales, and everybody recognizes that the strength of the organization is on sales. And Bemela, if he pushes and shoves and whatever he does, he's going to get his way. That's one model of the most powerful person. So Lemaisa, he will get his way by pushing his side of the of whatever it is to the detriment of everybody else. But the owner of the corporation, his shlita is because everyone's employed by him. It's a very different. He employs the marketing person, he employs the development person, he employs the manufacturing person, and it's not going to, you know, to him, everyone is equally beholden to him because they're coming from him. So b'meila, the it's a very different type of shlita and koach. So that's one inyan that's as far as pointing out. I want to add one more inyan that's relevant to why Akash Baruch Hu does Mida Keneged Mida and Avodah Zarah would never do Mida Keneged Mida. If the purpose, Lamashal, if somebody is annoying me, he's getting in my way, whatever capacity. So my interest is to push him off, to get him out of the way, to even to get revenge on him. You know, whatever it is, I will use any means that I find to be most effective, most painful, and so on, to push back, to get rid of him, and etc. If I'm a child, if I have a child who's doing not good, then I'm going to ask myself, what is a type of reaction that will bring out, that will teach the child what he did wrong and bring him back to the Archa Toiv? And yes, instinctively, we sometimes just lash back. But a real, you know, in a real father mechanech mode, the purpose of pushing back is to give the child a sense of what it is that he's doing wrong and how bad it is and what's the right way to correct it. So I will always try to match what he did wrong with something similar to it so that he can learn from it. Over the Avodah Zarah see their gods as being tough hanchos who don't like to be messed with. And when they're messed with, they exert terrible punishments. So it's all about the gods. It's all about God, you know, doing what he wants to do in order to get back at people or to get them out of his way, whatever it is. There's no mocking for Mida Keneged Mida. What's the point of Mida Keneged Mida? The point is to get rid of them as quickly as possible. We understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu as wanting to bring the world to its tikkun, to its good. And therefore, if he will always educate us by giving us Mida Keneged Mida. So if a person wasn't merachem on an ani, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have us a situation where we need something and we're not getting it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merachem, and the person is not merachem on us. So we learn that lesson. But it's very important that it work with Mida Keneged Mida, because the point is to teach me. The point is to change me, l'tayva. Okay, the next piece is Rabbeinu Bechaya. It says, Yisra Chayis HaMashiach came, they went Oilem Mizvachim, and they all went Lecho Lechem Chayis HaMashiach Nelekim. They went to make a little Asuras Mitzvah. Im Chayis HaMashiach Nelekim, Lefei Mishan Elokim Amura Anna Amura Eish HaShemesh Nelekim. So Rabbeinu Bechaya is trying to understand the Suda Zu, what's the point of it? In other words, just a normal Suda to be able to, you know, if somebody comes and you make a nice hello, the Torah wouldn't say it. There's no point in telling us things that are mundane, that there's no tachlis in it. If the Torah mentions, of course, if your long-lost father-in-law shows up with your wife and kids, you'd expect a suda and you know, a nice Baruch Hu HaBoyim. There's nothing in it that is of any great consequence. So obviously he's telling us a certain inyan, that there's an inyan of suda. What's that inyan over here? So he says like this, Usuda zu aso l'chvoid yisur sh'nizgaya b'milo t'vilo b'mayim k'din agera b'olach s'estas ha'kashchina. So, first of all, they made the suda as a suda's geirus. I'm not sure about the halachas, but here you see that a suda becoming a ger is in place. The ein sofi kasuda zois la'aron shemuskenim usudas hamatam yiskavinu kavona achas lehem kedei shetochol hasimcha benefesh ha'oichol v'tishroch hakodesh. A person's mood is affected by physical things. And when a person has a nice Suda, a pleasant Suda, it stimulates a good feeling, which then can transition to a positive ruchnistika ambience. And when a person when a person awakens his senses through a good suda or something like that, it'll get him upbeat in general. So, and this is very similar to what it says in a lot of times after the Gemara that Rava would start to milsa the b'dichasa, his shmeitza, you know, a joke sort of wakes up a person, gets him in a good mood and in a sharp mood, and b'meila, you can, from that, you move on. But it's very important to understand that it can become counterproductive very quickly also. A person that sinks into a deep suda becomes lethargic also. It's important to recognize what's the tachlis of this. So a joke to start off and to get people refreshed and learning is positive. If you just keep joking, it's much later. A suda, you know, something good to snack on, wakens a person. But if you sink into it, you become lethargic again. There's an old Chassidish is saying, they asked Chassidim, like, if the simcha is so genuine by you and everything like that, why do you need to drink vodka? Or what's the drinking vodka all about? Tachlis. You know, if you're a simcha because of mitzvahs, whatever it is, and so on. So they answered, if you ever see a wagon that's driven by horses, so sometimes you need to grease the wheels because they're creaky. But once the wheels are greased, they run because the horses pull them. So he said, you know, sometimes our body and mind and heart are creaky, so you grease the wheels. But there's obviously a proportion between the grease that you use. It's not like filling up an engine with gas to go. The amount that you use for grease is much, much, much less than filling up an engine. So topping the tank in drinking is lav dafka a very, very big maila in Avodas Hashem. But to do something that gets people upbeat and so on, yes, that's this suit over here. Next piece is also Rabbeinu Bechaya. It says, V'ata sechse mikol aman shechaya elkim. You have a list over here of different middles of a person. Anshe chayel, yer elkim, anshe emes, sonibatza. You're not talking here about doing particular maisim, or not even chachamim. We're talking about people whose character has very positive traits. They weren't, you don't find the scripture writings archive as being brilliant, smart, geniuses, and so on. Kim betore midas. Noach it says Tzadik Tomim, Avram ve'yetomim, Yaakov ishtam, Moshe onamayit. V'chol ze lohiris kin ikah chachma l'yish amides, k'shem shene ilin ikah lapri. V'chein dar shechazal, seichol toy v'chol eseyem, l'chol agdeyem l'lema, l'chol eseyem. I want to give a little bit of a nekuda in the Rabbeinu Bechaya. First of all, he's talking about midos, not Maisim Tovim specifically. Maisim Tovim are very specific actions. I davened, I learned, I gave tzedakah, I put on tefillin. Those are mitzvahs. You don't find that shevach of that they did a lot of mitzvahs, a lot of deeds, is rare. Not as common as these. Midas are the personality that developed. In other words, When a person has chachma, so in the long run, it will affect his maisim. In other words, I know I'm supposed to do this, and I know how important this is, so I'm going to go do it. That's important. But there's another chelik over here, and that is changing the person's character, personality. It's more than any particular ma'is I do. It's what I become. So on the one hand, chachma that doesn't change the person's personality. The Rambam has very interesting halachas. The Rambam's halachas are in Hilchos Deos. The Rambam speaks about the mitzvah to emet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he has a perek, kishem shachochem is nivdal, in his chachmasa and things like that, so too is he nivdal in his deos, which deos is a code word for midas in the Rambam. So the person who is a chacham is supposed to be able to express it in his person. When we find somebody who's brilliant but behaves like a little kid, we think it's strange. We think it's almost like a big brain trapped in a baby's body, in a teenager's body. So chachma requires, that the Rambam says, chachma requires that it be expressed in the person. I heard Reb Moshe Shapiro's son Avram, he set a hesped on him on the yard site, and I think it was a very good, it made a very good point. He says, if you look at the Rambam in Perek Hay, where he speaks about Kishem Shechacham is Shaina B'deyas and so on, Kishem Shaina is Chachma, Shaina is Deyas. He says many of the things there are, everyone's Mechoyev in them. So what's the chilek between the two Rambams? What's the chilek between what everybody's Mechoyev, what a Chacham? So he learned Pshat, we won't learn Pshat, he said, the Rambam is saying that for a Chacham, it has to be nicker that it's coming mechachmasai. Let's give an example. You can train a child to act very nice and menschlich and polite and thank you, hello, how are you, what's doing, Mr. So and so and so on. And that's fine. It's a very well trained child, and it's fine. But I don't feel it coming from his depth of understanding of life or of people. He's been told this is right, that a child, that's how a child acts, this is right, and this is what you're supposed to do, and he does it. Somebody who is a chacham, you get a sense that it's coming from his ability to see you, understand you, relate to you, take you in, and so on. So from his point was that there's a special obligation that a chacham be nikar, is the oisav, means one be able to see his chachma as expressed in his personality. It's more than just what he does. It's his instinctive reactions, his reflexes, all of those in Yanim are those in Yanim we're talking about. So the Shevach on a person is the Chachma that has expressed itself in his personality and his character. Everyone knows the difference between you talk to somebody who is absolutely brilliant, off the charts brilliant, but you feel he's silly, he's a baby, he's an idiot, he's rapping himself. It's almost like I said, something very precious, almost wrapped in a shmata. I don't see, sometimes you see a person who has those characters, but you see it express it itself in his interaction. His whole being expresses what he knows, understands, and his depth. That's what he's talking about over here. Okay, the next piece is about women's role in chinuch. It says, So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to speak to the women first, and then the Kal Yisrael, it sounds as if they are the more important ones. So Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says, "V'tzivah l'dabal anoshim t'chil lamdun musav der cheretz." V'oid. So first of all, he wanted to teach them musav der cheretz. V'oid kidei lehamshich libon el ha'toyre v'amitzvus. V'lil loymel rashi prokim ishein da'atam yeshevus kanoshim. They need to be able to. They need special talking to be able to draw them to Torah and mitzvus and so on and so forth. Those are two reasons why it's kilo woman needs more chizuk. Then he says a different reason that is why a woman is more important in the picture. Ve'oi, she'ha'isha teiva, hisiba l'teira. A good woman is someone that actually becomes a cause for teira and mitzvahs. She'chol l'hamshech as b'no beis ha'medish. She can bring her child to beis medrash. L'fi she'hi metzuya bebayis. She's home a lot. Ve'imerachem as a love, become a minig aguyim. She's always giving him giving him all sorts of stuff, spoiling with stuff. A woman is naturally has a much stronger emotional bond with a child than does a father. And when you take the rutzen, so if a child knows he's disappointing his mother's hurt, his mother's upset, or if he's not learning or not doing well, it bothers him a lot more. A person naturally has much, much stronger feelings, positive feelings towards his mother. So if his mother's ideals are Torah and mitzvahs and so on, it will make a strong impression on him. You find people over the years, you find people who have gotten into bitter fights with fathers and haven't resolved it. A lot of times, even around this inyan of sort of a leaving Torah, leaving Yiddishkeit, with a mother, most people have a much more positive relationship in the sense of, it takes a lot to really break with a mother. She really has to be a difficult person, an extreme, and it keeps in a person. People's Yiddishkeit will last a lot longer because it's their mother's Yiddishkeit. When you talk to people about what kind of tzaddik is their mother was there, their eyes will mist over because that's the way it is. So the woman's role, because she has the deepest positive emotional seat in a person's heart, that she stand for Torah is very important in allowing it to be part of a person's in giving over the Torah to the children. And then he says, this is the marker for what we do. Lekach ru'uya ish l'spal Hashem Yisroch b'shas adlok es ner shal Shabbos. She mitzvah mitelos aleh shetna Hashem bonim me'ir me'teira. That's why the woman should be b'spal to Kadosh Baruch Hu by adlok es neris, which is a mitzvah specific to her, that Kadosh Baruch Hu give her children me'ir me'teira. Ki ha'tfila yoyisin ishmas b'shas asiyas ha'mitzvahs. Tfilah is much more miskabel b'shas ha'mitzvah. So that's why the woman, more than the man, is the one that should be responsible for it, because really she has the kalim for ensuring it. U'b'schus ne'er Shabbos or tiske lebonim b'alei Torah ha'nikreis or shenema k'nei mitzvah Torah. V'chein dorsha chazal ha'iman derogel b'shragi hava lebonim v'chachamim. Was the neiris is k'neged or, and that's k'neged or Torah. I want to add another piece over here that I think is very important to understand the sheirish of things. We make decisions about what's right, what's wrong, what we're going to do, what we're not going to do. That's normal, obviously. We weigh things logically to some degree. That's also. But down deep, the person who's... it's almost impossible to separate what we hear from the person that's telling us. I will trust something and believe something based on the person that's telling it to me. Who it is that's telling me, whose message it is, goes a long way helping me make a decision about right or wrong. You'll talk to somebody off the derech, and a certain genre, a certain group of people, it's because somebody that they looked up to, a Rebbe-type figure, acted extremely bad. There are different ways. I was talking to somebody who used to be a chassid, and he's basically zero now, and there was some sort of big political fight in the chassidus, and I think his Rebbe was on the wrong side of it, and that is extraordinarily bitter and upset, and whatever, dropped everything. And you can't almost divorce the message from the messenger. Maybe the Rav that was your Rav was a particularly bad person, but he's, you know, why should you weigh what he said based on him? This is, no, it's not like that. If a certain element of somebody's position, and I hate this person, I despise this person, then the message is going out the window. And that's why whenever people have had negative experiences with a mashpia, then it's not only the mashpia that gets crossed out, it's his message. And it's almost impossible for me to disassociate the message from the messenger, and vice versa. If I revere somebody as a tzaddik and as somebody special person, somebody who was there for me and cared for me, I'll swallow the message, because I, you know, it's like the Gemara. The message and the messenger come together. So it's very important that Yiddishkeit Torah comes to be the message of the messenger that is closest to a person's heart, and you know, and the one that has the deepest roots, and that's where mother is, and that's why, you know, people who are barely from and so on, it's a memory of a mother more than a father that will keep them going, because almost nobody has, you know, people can be frustrated and annoyed with a mother, but very few people have harsh feelings for a mother. For a father, much more people. This, by the way, is a Maimon Musker, the famous Ramban, that speaks that, you know, we know that our fathers won't give us over sheker and so on. It's not, it doesn't mean it's a foolproof evidence. And, you know, this is logical evidence, because I know my father wouldn't lie to me, and my father wouldn't lie to me, and he told me this, also the truth. It doesn't stand up all that much logically. It's not what he meant. It's what he means is we are wired to trust our father. The first person who teaches me how to hunt and how to shoot and how to avoid traps is my father. And therefore, it's built into me that I trust and take his word for as it is. B'meila, whatever my father tells me about the emes of the world and the metzias, I'm going to take that as a given. I can always break free. Yes, I can, in both directions, a person can, you know, can break away. But there's an atiyah to take it. And that's what Ramban means. The message of a father to a child. If a father tells a child, your Rebbe is full of it and he doesn't know anything, he doesn't understand anything, he's an idiot, whatever it is. The child doesn't say, well, let me ask myself. Let's compare my father to my Rebbe. My Rebbe is much smarter, much nicer. My father hasn't learned in 25 years, and this guy is bitter, and he's upset, he's anxious, just my Rebbe. No, nobody makes that cheshbon. Your father you trust more than anybody else, unless you've been burned terribly, in which case destroys a lot of a person's emunah. But al kapanim, this is the point of Rabbi Rechai here, that since the woman is the one that has, it's nested in the innermost recess of a person's nefesh, neshama, heart, therefore it's important that she be the one, she's the one who has to start the process of making Torah dear to the child. If a child, when he sees how happy his mother is that he's in school and doing well in school, that prompts him more than anything else to do well in school. Okay, any questions, any points, any issues? Okay, so we'll hold it over here. And a good rest of the week.